We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're going to start a band, a girl band. The Unholy Hour was the name of our screamo band.
Hell yeah. I'm not good at making a low voice. Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Baugh.
And I just dropped it, what was going to be a very great fishtail braid because I knew that this part of the recording was going to be on the Patreon. I was like, fuck me, like, get it together.
Oh, my hair.
I'm starting over. Okay. Hi. We're recording late in the week because I had a bit of a meltdown earlier this week. Again, baby.
Well, I feel
it was
like
pre-meltdown.
It was pre-meltdown. So this is an important update, I think. So it was pre-meltdown. Amelia could tell that she was getting there, and she mentioned this before, but she has a hard time recognizing right before she's about to like tip. So I was like, I want you to feel empowered to like set boundaries, so I can totally record tomorrow, even though it'll be like less than like ideal. But I'm having a slow week because I had a very busy weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and you went to a barbecue on Monday too.
Yeah,
so you've like not really had much time to like recover from like what this weekend was for you.
Barbecue is a stress. It was just like a nice little fall dinner. It was very casual, nice.
But still like just calm. Socializing. Like
You're right. I was sitting at the dinner table and I was like, oh God, please don't fall asleep, Liz.
Keep it together.
They're like, do you want another glass of wine? And I was like, they were at my birthday party and I was like, I cannot do that right now.
How did you feel Sunday?
Sunday, I had the Sunday scaries, but it wasn't because I don't think it was like so much being hungover as it was just like coming down from a high of like celebrating my birthday for the last month. like Mr. Liz took me on like a very special like birthday weekend trip before this past weekend. So I had like two birthdays basically. And then this, like my actual birthday, like my college friends came out, like my best friends in Seattle came out. I just had everyone I like wanted in one place for the whole weekend. Like both Friday and Saturday were so much fun.
Should we change our brand to just review drinks? Because I feel like all of our episodes start out similarly.
We could just start out reviewing whatever drink we're drinking.
Should we do that right now?
Yeah.
All right. Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
I'm drinking Topo Chico hard seltzer, tangy lemon lime. Oh, there's lime in it. That's why it tastes like key lime.
how would you compare it to a White Claw?
I prefer Topo Chico, but let me tell you this realization that I had earlier today when I was pulling this out of my fridge. All of a sudden, I really love Topo Chico. And I'm like, why? And it's because Music Man. I am so down bad. This man is obsessed with Topo Chico. He has a Topo Chico poster in his apartment that is framed. He has like a Topo Chico record that doesn't have any music on it, but it's like branded as Topo Chico. He always, every time I come over, he's like, you want a Topo Chico? And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then I bought it to bring over to his apartment and it tastes basically the same to every other seltzer. but I feel really hip and cool because he's so hip and cool. So I buy Topo Chico seltzer now.
I'm going to interject.
Per his influence.
And talk to the audience for a second.
Oh,
talk
no.
to the angels.
I'm in trouble.
Amelia gives this man way more than he deserves. Like,
I
more
know.
Accolades than he deserves. The way she's describing him,
so
you
cool.
would think, yeah, you would think she was talking about a celebrity. And he's a nice guy and he is likable. But when I met him, it felt a little bit like Arrested Development.
What?
When Michael's talking about Anne and he's like, who? And then he's like, Anne, you let her in. He's like, oh, yeah, her? Okay. And anytime they say Anne, he's like, her?
I don't know what it is about him.
Like, I support like, you, but her?
No, you know what I think it is about him? Because I've been thinking a lot about this. I never put this much of my energy into somebody that gives me so little.
But maybe that's why.
It's why.
Because he gives you so little.
That's part of it is the...
But at least you're aware.
Oh, yeah. The chase is a huge part of it. But also, like, I feel like my soul knows his soul. And, like, I felt like that since I met him. And I can't let go of it. Like,
I looked away when she said that.
But it's true. I feel it's a very strange cosmic thing. I feel like I knew him in a past life, not in a romantic way, but I feel so comfortable and attached to him.
Here's actually what I think. I think that your soulmate is going to remind you of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just someone who is similar.
Mm-hmm. You might
like,
be right.
Or just has, some people can have like similar energy, but not have like the same personality, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, totally.
So I think whoever you're supposed to meet will make you feel the same way.
That's what I've been telling people. Like, he's set the bar for how I'm supposed to feel for about people. You wanted to review your drink?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even review my drink.
Oh, I'm going to give this a Please Marry Me Music Man out of 10.
So we're doing out of 10.
Uh-huh.
I'd give this like a 5.5 out of 10.
Oh, you actually gave it a number. I would give it like a cool can, bad taste out of 10.
Yeah, it's...
It's spent all their budget on the
yeah, they
packaging
spent all their
out of 10.
Budget on packaging. It's not bad. So it tastes like if a sour beer and a seltzer had a baby. So this is like a rosé seltzer, and it just isn't doing it for me, you know?
Yeah.
It's not bad. I like that it's tart. I do really like tart drinks. But this is just like not how I'm feeling right now. I would definitely mix this with like vodka and like squeeze a little lemon in it or something.
Ooh.
I think that'd be really fun.
Make a little
and
Liz
flirty.
Cocktail, a little
yeah.
Liz rosé cocktail.
Yeah, I'd for sure fuck myself up and drink this mixed with some
I thought you were
shit.
Gonna say you would fuck the drink. I'm like, damn, you
no.
love that drink.
No, I don't.
I had a one night stand that drink, but like,
yeah, maybe I'd drunkenly make out with this drink at a bar.
Okay.
And I would marry White Claw. Can't go wrong with a mango White Claw, you know. That's my safe space.
Okay, love that.
It's familiar. I always feel good when I drink it.
Okay.
I would probably like be fuck buddies with like gin and tonic or like gin and soda. I'm getting kind of like over my vodka stage of life. Yeah, I think I'm a gin girl.
We'll miss you on this side.
But also I have that purple gin and it just feels different when your drink's purple.
Like I went on a date with, I need to have a nickname for him now because he's new. It wasn't a date originally and it turned into a date. And this also all came from reviewing our drinks.
Yeah. Okay.
So we went out on last Monday and it was, or last Tuesday, and it was just supposed to be like us catching up because it had been a while since we saw each other. And we ended up just talking solid for 4 hours. I left like, I really hope he thought that was a date because I felt like that was a date. Like I was really excited about it. And I just like woke up really giddy. Like I hadn't felt... This is going to be another Music Man episode. I hadn't felt that good about a date since Music Man. So like the fact that it felt so natural and easy was really, really exciting. And then we just like talked solid basically the whole week and drunk texted a bunch, which is always how I get myself in trouble, but it ended up being fine. And it was good. And then I went down and saw him. He lives an hour and a half south, but he works in Seattle, which is why I'm even toying with this. And so I drove to see him. And we had a little like movie date, and it was fun. And he's really great, and he listens to the podcast. So we got to figure out a nickname for him. We're gonna call him. I've actually been thinking a lot about what I want to call him. Give me a sec.
Okay,
I'm like running through a few. Like,
I don't know enough about him to help you.
I'm gonna call him. Moscow.
Moscow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because he loves Moscow mules, and we drank a lot of Moscow mules.
It's a great drink.
On Monday.
And ginger beer? Yeah. Can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. You really can't.
Especially if there's a little mint in there.
Really, really liked Moscow. Really nice. Really easy to be around. Him and I just click really well. He's really good at listening. Like, everything. He's one of those people that, like, I say this about, like, every guy that I date, I feel like I would be able to bring him around my friends and it wouldn't be a problem. Like, that's such a huge litmus test for me. And I don't know, he's just really great. He's younger than me. He's a year younger.
I'm pro younger.
And he's a Libra.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about Libra men? We don't like Libra men?
They're not great.
Really?
I, as a Libra, I do not like Libra men.
Oh, no.
But it might just be because I'm a Libra woman. But
I'm realizing I like don't like like any man.
So this is our Halloween episode.
No. Our last Halloween episode is a tough act to follow.
I don't remember it.
Oh.
If I'm being honest.
It's fine. We told ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to do the same here, yeah?
Yeah, we just have the one more.
And I'll tell my ghost story.
Okay.
And then also, we need to talk about the experience that you had reading the listener story, because you and I made an interesting connection about similar dreams that we have. While you're pulling it up, I'm going to plug our socials.
Okay.
Because it's everyone's favorite part of the episode is when I plug shit that you're already listening to. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, at The Holy Hour. You know how to spell it. And send us stories. Like the one we're about to read, to holyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
And also I want to chime in and say, everyone, no one sent us any spooky stories. So if you're like, oh, I'm not going to send in my story because other people will, just send it.
Mm-hmm.
Ship it. Send it to us. We love reading them regardless of if we read them on air.
Yes.
So,
and we read and also, almost all of them.
Yeah, it's not like we won't read them in the future either, you know?
Yeah.
So, hi, Liz and Amelia. Big fan of the show. Longtime listener. The highlight of my week is cuddling up with my puppy with a good drink and listening to the newest episode each weekend, laughing my head off alone in my apartment. Yeah. That's very relatable to me.
Yeah. Same.
Except instead of a drink, sometimes it is
marijuana.
Yeah. Marijuana.
Marijuana.
Anyways, I'm hoping this isn't too late to share my story for your paranormal spooky episode, but I have a doozy of a story. A little context, I'm from a very small town in Montana, and during the summers, during my high school years and beginning of college, I worked at the local museum, which is inside an old abandoned prison. The structure is now half old prison museum and half antique car museum. I never believed in ghosts until I worked there, but now I'm a devout believer. Mm-hmm. I have lots of crazy stories from my time there, but this one is the spookiest to me. My second year working at the museum, one of my coworkers, a girl who went to high school with me, we'll call her Stacy, told our manager she wasn't comfortable closing the till anymore because doing so involved walking into the back of the Autumn Museum Bay and locking up the till and receipts for the night. She said every night when she went to lock up the till, she would hear a little girl giggling and see a small girl hiding behind the wall in the back corner. The first time, she called out to the girl, thinking she was a museum patron who'd gotten separated from her family. But when she moved closer, the girl disappeared, and she sat in the same spot every night. Naturally, like the punk high school students we were, none of us believed her at all. My good friend worked at the museum with me at the time, and one day we were closing out the till together. The museum doors were locked, and so aside from our boss, an older lady who worked upstairs and locked up behind us, we were the only ones left in the building. We were sitting in the office that was near the front desk with the door closed while we counted our tills. We were joking about the ridiculous story Stacy had been telling. We were joking about the little girl she had seen and sarcastically trying to guess her name. Maybe it was Olivia or Elizabeth. That's a spooky Victorian name. That's true. Mm-hmm. I am a spooky Victorian girl.
Yes.
followed by her obnoxious laughter. Then I fucking kid you not, we heard the creepiest, most bone-chilling sound. There was a very loud scratching on the door, other side of the closed office door. It wasn't just a light scratch as if something brushed up on the door. It was loud, like someone was raking their nails at the door. We both immediately went quiet, and my friend got up to open the door and see who was screwing with us. But there was no one there. We looked at the door and scratched into the wood. There were letters. J-A-N-E.
Whoa!
We both literally screamed and ran out there and texted our boss from the safety of our car that there was something in the lobby. The next morning, I figured either someone had been screwing with us or we simply let our imaginations get away from us. But when we came in, we saw the door still had the name Jane scratched into the wood. Our boss had checked all the doors to be sure they were shut, and there were no signs anyone had been in the lobby during that time, aside from the two of us. Our museum curator became really interested in the story after she heard it. She began doing some research into who this little girl might be. All of the full-time staff have been longtime believers in ghosts, as there are just too many unexplainable, undeniable paranormal experiences that happen in the museum every day. She was curious why there would be a little girl ghost. The museum was a men's prison back in the day. There were never any records of young children being allowed on site, especially not little girls. However, after some digging, our curator found that one of the cars in the back corner of the auto museum bay had an interesting history. The car was restored by its previous owner before it was donated to the museum a few years back. It had been restored because it had been in a pretty badly wrecked a long time ago when its original owners, a family with a mom, dad, little boy, and little girl, had been in a bad accident. The accident on record, it turns out, had actually killed two members of the family, the mom and the little girl, their daughter, Jane, who was 4 years old at the time of the crash. Today, the door has been removed from the main office and is in the storage room by the auto museum. I also attached a photo that Stacy took of the little girl. The entire museum is literally the creepiest place I've ever been. It's not uncommon for visitors to get unexplained scratches on their arms, feel a sudden cold spot or chill, or for animals to go absolutely berserk barking at blank walls. After my years working there, I'm very much a believer in some sort of paranormal world beyond our own. Sorry for the long message, but this is the coolest, spookiest story I have, and I love to share it. Swear to God, every detail is true. Keep up the good work. You're my favorite podcast and could listen to endless hours of the two of you making me laugh. If you're ever out in the SLC area, drinks are on me.
Oh, let's go to Salt Lake City. Thank you for writing that in. Holy fuck.
Ooh.
Yeah, I looked at the pictures.
Ooh.
Holy.
It's fully like a girl like sitting in the window, like sitting and facing a window. So while I was reading this story, I was like fully like enveloped reading it, and it just started to get dark outside, and I was like laying in bed. So then I asked, like, I have my light set up with Google to turn on the lights, so I was like asking it to turn the lights on, and there was like a long pause, and it was like, sorry, something went wrong. And it's just like, I hate when it does that. It's so jarring to me when it is, when it, because it's louder than normal when it does that. But when I told Amelia that, like with the lights thing, we both realized we have this similar like nightmare.
It's like recurring nightmare.
Yeah. Of being unable to turn the lights on.
Yeah. It's like such a weird thing to have multiple mm-hmm. times and then for us to both experience it.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you're like, there's something creepy in your house.
Yeah.
And you're trying to turn the lights on and they won't turn on.
And they're like really close behind you. They're like watching you, mm-hmm. like not be able to turn the lights on. You can't see where they are because the lights won't turn on.
What do you do when in your dream when that happens?
All I can remember of those dreams is just frantically trying to turn the lights on. Like, I don't ever remember anything after that.
I always start screaming at the ghosts. Well, because I don't actually ever see anything.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're not allowed in my house and you need to leave. Like,
oh my God, you're like,
I just get aggressive.
Hell yeah.
I get mad that they're in my home and they're fucking with me. I'm like, no, it's time for you to go.
Nobody's fucking with Awake Liz and Dream Liz.
No.
Mm-mm.
I am so shut off to seeing any ghost. I don't want to see one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything weird happening to me. I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Unless it's cool. But.
Yeah.
Like, in a good way, you know?
Right.
Like a little girl ghost, I'm like, oh, yeah, that is really creepy, but she probably doesn't mean any harm.
Why are there always, like, why, first of all, why are they always from, like, the Victorian era?
That's so true.
Why are there so many Victorian ghosts?
Yeah.
And then, like, why are they always children, you know? And I think that people say, like, ghosts are, like, people that lost their life before it was their time that are, like, stuck in, like, in between, like, the two realms because their souls weren't ready to die. And so that's why a lot of them are kids. But I don't know. It's so strange. I don't know. You just always hear about, like, ghosts being children or, like, children's laughter. And it's like, mm-hmm. fuck, it's so scary. I think I told these stories on our last Spookysode, but I have always felt like...
I have other people's spooky stories I can share.
Do it. Yes. I have always felt like since I was a kid that I have like a special connection to the afterlife. Like even before I knew what that was, I was always just like very aware of there being like dead people around me. It was like... very strange, but I've heard from a lot of people that are like they identify as mediums that like as kids they had a lot of anxiety and a lot of it was tied to like seeing dead people,
mm-hmm.
Or being able to communicate with them. But there have been a few instances like in my house up where I went to school, when we moved into the house, it was an old house, and my mom set up like a box of my shit, and in there was a Ouija board. And that was from my 9th birthday. I had a psychic-themed birthday party with a psychic named Jewel who told me I was going to be a surgeon, which is fucking hilarious. Look at me now,
Fuck
Jewel.
Fuck you, Jewel.
Fuck you, Jewel. No, actually, I wonder, though, because Jewel kind of seemed a little spooky. So we'll see. I mean, I still have a lot of life to live. Maybe I'll be a surgeon. I'd be the worst surgeon. I have some shaky hands. But anyway, so I had a psychic there. I had, like crystal balls everywhere, and my mom got me a Ouija board. So like it was living in storage for forever until I went to college and moved into this house. And right when she sent it up to the house, like, and we used it the first night, the weirdest shit started happening around the house. Like there was one night where it was 3 a.m, which is the witching hour.
Mm-hmm.
I was leaving the bathroom and my room was at the end of the hallway that the bathroom was at, and I felt somebody looking at me. But I didn't pay. I was like, you're just tired. So I went into my room and shut the door and locked it. And like 2 seconds after I locked it, it sounded like somebody body slammed against the door. Like it wasn't like a house settling. It was like a full body into the door. And I was like, what the fuck? But I was so tired that I was like, am I just, I don't know, whatever.
So, am I sleepwalking?
Yeah. So I just went to sleep, woke up in the morning. And my roommate who lived upstairs came downstairs and she was like, the weirdest shit was happening last night. She like has one of those touch base lamp.
Yeah.
And it just kept going on. It would like get brighter and then it would turn off and then it would get brighter and turn off. And the fan in her bathroom turned on by itself. So it was like all of this shit was happening in the same night. Yeah. So like that was the beginning. That was the catalyst of all of this creepy shit that was happening in the house. And then every time I would go home, everything would stop. So like I would come home, my roommates would be like, nothing happened while you were gone. Like this shit, whatever it is like attached to you to you, because it only happens when you're in the house.
Yeah.
So that shit just happened until we moved out. So I don't know, like I never felt scared of it. And that's the thing about like all of these like paranormal experiences I've had. They never feel like
scary.
Yeah. They never feel like mean ghosts. Yeah.
I wonder if I would be afraid.
I think that the vibe of the ghost makes a difference.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true.
What are the ghost stories that you've heard?
So I heard a couple this weekend.
Oh.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis? Mm-hmm. I've never had sleep paralysis.
It's horrible.
Yeah, a few people I was talking to this weekend were telling stories of their sleep paralysis. So one of my friends, she and her fiance went to a wedding and like were staying in like a cabin or something, like, I don't know. A hotel room slash cabin. It had a cabin vibe wherever it was they were. And they were laying in bed and she woke up and she had like sleep paralysis and like her eyes were open and she like could only move her pinky and she was trying to like get her fiance's attention and saw like a figure, like shadow figure, walk through the door across their bed and into like the bathroom or something. And then like a couple minutes later it walked back. And then I was like, he forgot something. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he forgot something. Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He had to go get his towel. Yeah, exactly.
Don't mind me. Sorry.
Silly me.
Don't let me bother
sorry
you.
To sorry. I know you're sleeping. I know you have sleep paralysis. So she was and then she was finally able to move. She was like, I was laying there and I was like sobbing that I like was unable to move. And I was like, oh my God, that's giving like Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
So then like she told her fiance and like he was like, well, you just had like that happens when you have sleep paralysis. Like you see shit.
Yeah, you're like still asleep. Yeah.
And then like a month later they were talking about it and he's like, so I actually saw it too. And then she's like, what the fuck, why didn't you tell me? And he was like, we still had to stay there another night. Like if I told you, you're gonna freak out even more. And then she's like, you're right.
Wow, what a protector.
So he didn't have sleep paralysis and he saw the same fucking thing. So
what the fuck? And that's like huge to be like, no, it's fine, babe. Don't freak out. And him being like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. And he's definitely the kind of person who's very like even keeled. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, you know, you can say like, oh yeah, when you have sleep paralysis, like you just, your brain is not fully awake.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like projecting. And if you know you have sleep paralysis and you know you might see something scary, then like you're going to see something scary.
Yeah.
Because you're like essentially lucid dreaming.
That's so true.
So, but now like that he cooperated it as well, it's like, well, fuck.
Yeah. Like what the fuck was that?
It made me wonder like if sleep paralysis is like intentional, like if a ghost is around, you are intentionally paralyzed by them or something.
Maybe. I've had a lot of sleep paralysis.
Do you see scary shit?
Yes.
Ooh.
Holy shit. The first time I had it, I woke up from a nightmare. It was this nightmare where I was driving and somebody was tailgating me and they punched through the back windshield and grabbed my head, and I woke up and I was paralyzed, and I like turned, I looked with my eyes just next to me, and the guy that grabbed my head was in my bed and he was just like laying there just staring forward and his head was just going up and down, and I was just like watching him and he was just like slowly moving. Like it was so fucking scary. And then like he started like kind of like strobing and then he disappeared, and then I could move and I turned on my light, but it was probably like 5 seconds. It felt like an hour. I was like,
yeah, that's what everyone was saying, like it feels like an eternity.
And then that was the first time it happened. The most recent time it happened was with my ex. The last trip we went on, we were in a cabin. And I woke up and this like big, like long armed, like tentacly man was like coming through the window.
Ew.
And it was like a solid form. Like the guy that was in the bed next to me was kind of this like cloud kind of person, this was like coming through the window. And I started screaming. Like once I started coming out of the paralysis, I started screaming, which freaked him out because he's like, what? Like,
yeah.
What's going on?
And I jumped out of bed and I was screaming. And I remembered like all of that because I was awake. And I was so convinced in the moment that something was coming through the window because it was so real.
Mm-hmm.
That I couldn't convince, like I was so frustrated, I couldn't convince him that something was coming through the window. And it hasn't really happened since then, but I've been sleep talking a lot recently, some really awful, creepy shit.
I see you posting the sleep talk, like the sleep talking videos or whatever. Mm-hmm.
The recordings.
Some of them are pretty funny.
The one last night was, I said something about, if anybody takes pictures of my remains, I'm going to kill their whole family.
What the fuck?
Hello?
I want to know if I sleep talk.
You should get the Sleep Cycle app. It's actually pretty cool.
I will.
This sounds like it's sponsored. You have to pay a monthly subscription.
Mr. Liz's roommate talks in his sleep.
That's not a shock.
A lot. Yeah, he just never stops
chatty
talking.
Chatty Cathy.
Yeah. And so, like, if we're still awake... Or, like, if I'm, like, falling asleep, like, sometimes I'll hear him just, like, talking. It's, like, since I know it's happening, it's kind of funny. But
does he say stuff that makes sense?
I can't hear, like, what he's saying.
You could just hear him
talking. Yeah. And then there was one time Mr. Liz heard him singing in his sleep. Which is pretty funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I do wonder if I sleep talk, but probably not. I feel like if I did that at night, it would just record like Mr. Liz farting. And probably me too, you know?
You know? Yeah.
But I do have a weighted blanket. I don't know if you can hear farts through it.
The sounds that this thing picks up, it's scary. Like I'll like get up and pee in the middle of the night and it'll I pee with the door open, but my bathroom is far away from where my phone sits and it's very loud and very clear. And it picks it up as it registers it as talking because it'll tell you what's going on.
Okay.
Because it amplifies the sound so much. Uh-huh. I could hear there's been construction at 7 in the morning every fucking morning and it catches all of the conversations of the construction guys outside.
Oh.
Yeah. It's strong. You should really get it. It's really cool.
I play rain sounds when I sleep though.
From your phone?
Yeah.
That's
No. Not from my phone. From my Google.
It won't pick that up.
Okay.
I was listening to Sleep With Me, that podcast that helps you fall asleep. Just a guy telling boring stories, which is the best thing in the world. And that was fucking with my Sleep Cycle app. I thought I was awake all night because I was just like somebody talking for a few hours about nothing.
What was I going to say? Oh, I have one more creepy story from a friend.
Ooh, yeah.
So... my friend's ex-boyfriend had like this like demon that would follow him around. Like, I don't know, like his whole family just had weird shit that would happen to them. So he had like this like little like demon, small, like child sized, but like didn't look like a child. And it was just like kind of this black, like shadowy thing, and I guess all through college, because that's when they dated, this little demon thing would like choke him.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like he'd wake up with like scratches on his neck and stuff.
What,
like,
the hell?
Yeah. So and it had like big like black eyes or something. I don't know. So
what? Oh my god.
I know. When they broke up, I believe it's either when they broke up or she moved to Colorado. She like was laying in bed and like woke up and saw this like little like shadow by her bed, and she's like, I couldn't see its eyes, but I could tell it had like these big black eyes, and then it like jumped at her and disappeared. And she was like, "Wah!" And then like 2 seconds later he called her.
What the fuck?
And he was like, are you okay? And then she was like, how did you like know, like why are you calling me? And then he was like, I don't know, I just got like a weird feeling, like something bad happened to you, so I wanted to call and see if you were okay. And she was like, your fucking demon came to visit me.
Holy shit.
I know.
What a fucking story.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the closest I've been to sleep paralysis is like I have a recurring spider nightmare where like a big spider is like crawling on me or on the wall next to me or like falling down. Mm-mm. And then I wake up and I scream. And I'm like, there's a spider near me. Mr. Liz dealt with it for the first time recently.
Oh God.
And I was like, yeah, it was in his, we were in his bed. And, I like, I don't think I screamed, but I definitely like shot up and I was like, ah!
Yeah.
And then he was like, what? And I was like, there's a spider. It's so big. And then he was like, are you sure you weren't just dreaming? And I was like, I had to like think for a second. Yeah. And I was like, I think I was dreaming. But still, like when you try and fall back asleep, you're like, what if something's crawling on me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so funny how advanced we are, like, intellectually, and our brains mm-hmm. can't distinguish between what's a dream and what's reality. Regardless of how ridiculous a dream is, I wake up like,
confused.
Was I flying?
Do you ever have, like, you'll have, like, deja vu, but it's of a dream that you had once?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, I, like, can't. I remember that dream. Mm-hmm. Like I had it so long ago.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I've been having that a lot of like mm-hmm. remembering like some random dream.
Yes. I mean, it just goes back to like, we've talked about this before about how time doesn't exist mm-hmm. and like how this is all kind of a loop and there's a bunch of different things happening on a bunch of different like,
yeah, maybe that's just what a ghost is.
Have you seen
a different loop?
Interstellar.
Yeah.
Like like the whatever sixth dimension, fifth dimension, like behind the bookshelf.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, spoiler. If you haven't seen it yet, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's
watch fucking Interstellar.
It's so good. And you won't understand it, so I'm not really nobody does.
No.
That sounded like you couldn't possibly understand.
You just sit there for a few minutes after and then you're like,
no, it's actually the
bro,
most confusing.
What the fuck?
I've watched like three times and I still didn't really understand what was happening. So I watched a video of Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about it and now I feel like I get it. He could tell me anything and I'd be like, true.
So true.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's
that's
right.
That's so true.
Yeah. Wow.
NGT.
NGT?
ND.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
DeGrasse. I understand why you said G.
NGT.
NGT. Yeah, we're on, oh my God.
First name basis.
Nope.
No.
Initial basis.
Yeah.
What's happening to me, y'all?
So true.
This is important because I feel like I sound so tired and so out of it on this episode. I have been working with this dating app called Teleport mm-hmm. for a bit, and they wanted me to be their first like Teleport Bachelorette, where I would go on, the whole point of the app is going on video speed dates, and I just went on 23 minute dates for an hour and a half, and your girl is tapped af. I'm so fucking tired.
So I have some questions. Are all of these people, they live in Seattle?
Mm-mm. Oh. Some of them did, but they were all my followers.
Oh.
So they like applied and they got interviewed by the Teleport team. Yeah. Which
that's
was
so fun.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Everybody was so nice and I had a lot of fun, but oh my God. Like,
yeah. Meeting 20 people.
I was talking to the team after and I was
always
like,
exhausting.
I feel like if I did this 10 years ago, I would have been able to like really hold my own. Cause like I could have done this for like three more hours and been fine. At this point in my life, I get so gassed. Like after a party, I have to sit in a dark room and just like stare.
Yeah. How'd you feel after my birthday party?
Oh, on the first night, Friday, like going home was so necessary. Cause I was just like after Thursday too,
uh-huh.
I was just so gassed out. And I was like, if I'm going to be fun tomorrow, I need to just like sit in a quiet room.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I did that because then Saturday, I didn't feel gassed at all.
That's what I ended up doing yesterday, was just sitting alone and
good.
Like doing my dishes.
It's so important to do that.
I needed it.
Yeah. I feel like people are always like, oh yeah, if you need to recharge alone, but you like being around people, you're an ambivert, which might be true. But I think that it's just human nature to need to recharge by yourself.
Yeah.
Every so often, especially after the weekend you had, you were like,
you just need to enjoy your own company sometimes.
Yeah, it's an art.
Yeah. Anyway. I loved like socializing and seeing everyone.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd been preparing for it, you know, I was very ready.
It was,
and then
so
now
fun.
I am now it's Scorpio season. We are reflecting, we are shedding, we are growing, we are changing.
Yes. Is that what Scorpio season's all about? Oh, you motherfucker. Sorry, hold on.
All right. I was like, oh no.
All right, go back into Scorpio season.
So the Phoenix is very related to like, is like, fuck, I'm trying to think of the right word. Like, the Phoenix is like a symbol of Scorpio.
Oh,
yeah, I know. Yeah. Obviously also the Scorpion, but like Scorpio right. is, or, the Phoenix is one of those. And if you think about it, like a Phoenix rises from its ashes. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of like the whole energy of Scorpio is just like changing and growing and like shedding. So,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I need that right now.
I love Scorpio season. It Scorpio gets a lot of hate. And I think that it's just a misunderstood sign.
I like that.
Yeah. Unless you're a Scorpio man,
then we don't like you.
No, use a condom. No, I mean use a condom because they don't want to. They're like, how dare you?
Do I know any Scorpio men?
Anna used to date a lot of Scorpio men.
Did Anna stay until Monday?
No, her flight was a little later on Sunday.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I saw your tweets about you guys just like dying on the couch. I was like, oh,
she was fine. I was exhausted. Anyways, that's Scorpio season. And I think... I wanted to talk about this a little bit. I texted Amelia about it last night. I found this old journal I had from college that I literally do not remember having this journal. I don't really remember writing in it. Like, and this was almost 10 years ago now.
Wow.
Because I was 21 and 22 when I was writing in it. So I guess 9 and 8 years ago.
Hmm.
So, when I was reading it, it was very sad. It was a very sad journal to be flipping through. It was very interesting. Some of it was really funny. But like I got to a point that like I was incredibly depressed, but I would not call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wouldn't. Like in my journal, I would not say like, yes, I'm really struggling with depression right now.
Do you think you knew in the moment you just wouldn't write it out?
No, I think I just didn't want to like to me at that point in my life, depression, because like depression and anxiety is so much more accepted now.
Mm-hmm.
But even 8 and 9 years ago, like I feel like it wasn't still as accepted, like it wasn't as openly talked about or discussed, even if people were struggling with it. So I like didn't want to admit that to myself. I was like, no, I could not be depressed, even though I was literally writing about wanting to die.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was reading it, I was just like, oh my god, I was like not doing well at all, and just for a lot of different reasons. And I like when I was reading it last night, I just started crying because I was just like, I wish I could like go back and like hug myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel like this, and like my therapist and I have talked about this before, like she's like, what do you wish like you could tell yourself then? So I tried to just kind of put that into practice, and just like, I think it's a good reminder of, you know, I think that a lot of us are like, every single person in the world is struggling with anxiety and depression in some capacity.
Mm.
But I think also it's like good to acknowledge like how much your life can change.
Yes. That's huge.
I like the fact that I don't remember being that depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
I think maybe that also is probably my brain just protecting me.
Depression.
I knew I wasn't great. You know, I knew I wasn't happy.
Depression also leads to memory loss too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, that would like track.
And just like it can get so much better.
Oh my God. Like there have been, the thing about depression is like for a lot of people, it's like, it feels like this, it's not a momentary thing. It's mm-hmm. like, this is just how it is, and I'm going to feel like this for forever, and that's, I just have to live with this. I have to figure out ways to live with this.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's like your brain is lying to you, even if there are things to be sad about, like that deep, deep, deep depression.
It's more of like, it's not like depression isn't just feeling sad.
No,
it's just like the sense of like absolute hopelessness. Mm-hmm. And I would say like when I don't really think that I necessarily have depression because I don't like it doesn't feel like a sustained feeling, but that doesn't mean I haven't felt that way. Mm-hmm. And anxiety, like someone explained anxiety to me as like concentrated depression, and I was like, that actually kind of makes sense to me. So they're just so closely aligned that I'm not like, oh yeah, I don't have depression. I just like don't feel that way for a sustained amount of time. So that's why, but I wouldn't say that, but also like that could not even be true. I don't really know that much, like that much about depression versus anxiety, because that's what I'm being treated for.
Right. And they're comorbid a lot of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why antidepressants are anti-anxiety medications.
Mm-hmm.
But like I didn't think that I was depressed. And I think that I had a lot of stigma before I admitted to myself that I was depressed. There's a lot of stigma about being depressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I was like, well, I can't possibly, because like how depression is shown in like commercials specifically, like for antidepressants, is like this little stick figure walking around with like a dark cloud following him around, and it's mm-hmm. like, no, that's not really
that's not how it feels. It's
my depression was this like dull naggy ache, like it was always there, but I wasn't like so sad, but I was like not happy. I was like, I feel like with how much great shit is going on in my life, I should be happy, and I'm not. And it felt so like amorphous that I was like, this isn't depression. I'm just kind of like feeling blah. But it was chronic. Like I was like, it was like for like a year that I was like really just not doing well. And it wasn't until I like, honestly, if I'm grateful for the breakup for anything, it was like making me hit rock bottom. Like I was so fucking sad and like I could not pull out of it. It's like I was already starting at like a negative 30, and it just like brought me down to this like negative 90. And I was like, I need help. And that's when I called our psychiatrist for the first time. And the voicemail that I left her was me sobbing before I even knew her. I was like, I just need help. And you seem like you can help me. Can you help me? Like it was the saddest voice note I've ever sent anyone. And she called me back and she was like, God, I fucking love her. You just like know what this voicemail sounded like. She was like, hi, I'm going to send you some meditation links. It's going to be okay. She's like, when you break your leg, you go to the hospital and you get a cast. When you have depression, you take medication for it. She's like, you came to the right place. I'm like on the phone, like,
I love you so much.
I didn't realize what it felt like to feel like myself until I started treating my depression. And going back to what you said about like wanting to just like hug this past version of yourself that you were like reading in this journal. Like, I look back at how I was feeling then, and I'm just like, how I wish that I was kinder to myself then, because before I was like, I'll get the fuck over it. Like
I was so mean to myself too.
It's so easy to be, because that's the depression.
Yeah,
you just like, you don't think that you're like capable of feeling better. You don't think that it's worth trying to feel better. It is the most hopeless feeling, and it lies to you so frequently and consistently, and it's a really scary place to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that it's a really important message. Obviously, we're not mental health professionals, but like as two people that have experienced depression, knowing that there is a way out of it, it's work, but it's worth it on the other side.
So I was very like hesitant to take any SSRIs because I was like, well, in my head, depression and anxiety weren't like, they didn't go together as much in my, like just to me, I was like, well, I only want to treat, like, I don't need to be treated for depression because I don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I only want to be treated for anxiety. And then our psychiatrist is like, listen, it treats both, okay? And then I just didn't want to be taking an SSRI. And then if you're like, because I'm the kind of person who's like, yeah, if you need medication, like take it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should do what they need to do.
Yeah, it's so different taking the advice then, for yourself.
But not me.
Yeah.
Because I'm special.
Mm-hmm.
And my brain can fix itself.
Mm-hmm. God, but that's such a natural thing.
It's so fucking stupid.
Taking a medication is scary.
Yes. And that, because you also, like, SSRIs are different for every single person. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I didn't want to gain weight. I didn't want a lower libido. I didn't want any of the negative side effects. And then she was like, she was basically like, those things are worth feeling better. Mm-hmm. You aren't going to care as much about those things because you were going to feel better.
Yeah.
And then she, the most important thing she said to me was like, I was like, well, I don't want to be on this forever. And then she was like, okay, but also who cares? Like, if you are, who fucking cares? And I was like, that's so true. Like, no one cares besides me.
Yeah.
And I just want to not feel crushed by anxiety.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
That's all I want.
It's so scary putting these things, messing with your brain chemistry before you do it feels very scary, but therapy messes with your brain chemistry. Exactly. Not messes is a bad way to say it. It changes your brain chemistry.
Well, and the goal is also not to be on them forever, but also if you are, that's okay.
Yeah, a lot of people in my life have been on it their whole lives, like almost their whole lives. My 1 year is November 1st. It's coming up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I feel like I want
to be Prozac anniversary.
Thank you. I want to throw like a Prozac party because it's truly changed my life. Like I look back on pictures of myself, like on my memories that have been popping up from before I got on Prozac. Like I look so sad. Like my eyes look so sad. And I think there was no way of me being able to tell that back then. Like I wouldn't look at a picture of myself and be like, oh, I'm so sad. But like knowing how sad I was and like you reading this journal that you found, it's sad to know that you were in that position feeling that shitty when you've gotten out of it and you are like giving yourself like the love and attention and affection that like you deserve out of that. It's really hard to think about yourself in those positions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So
all this to say like it gets better and also if you need help, like, please go get help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially just like reading. I don't know. Yeah. Just reading that journal. Like I've been through so much change. I think all of us have in the last 2 years, but like in your 20s in general.
Yeah.
Like I know we have listeners who are 22 and I'm just like, buckle the fuck up. Cause it doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does not calm down.
It really does not. No. But like,
I'm so glad I'm 30. I'm so glad to no longer be in my 20s.
Yeah.
Someone was like, do you feel wise? And then I was like, I think I will like start to feel wise. And then she's like 32. She was like, oh my God, you're baby 30. And I was like, I am a baby 30.
That's
like,
cute.
That's so precious.
I love that.
She's like, it gets amazing. You're going to love it. Everyone who's I feel like I'm welcomed into a club now.
Yeah.
To be honest. Everyone who's in their 30s is like, oh my God, your 30s are amazing. They're so nice.
I've never, everybody, when people talk about their 20s, they're like, oh my God, like you're going to learn so much about yourself. And then 30s is like, oh my God, like you're going to have the best time. That's how everybody
works. You learned about yourself and now you can just love yourself.
Yes. Jesus. So, I mean, like, I feel like we could talk about this depression conversation for forever.
Oh, for sure.
My closing statement on the depression is similar to Liz's. Like, you are not alone. Again, we're not mental health professionals and we are not in a position to be like, you know, but as two people that have gone through it and know how hard it is to like finally admit that you need help with anxiety too. Like that's not an easy thing. Admitting you need help with something is never easy.
No.
And always worth it. And
especially if you're stubborn.
Yeah.
Like us.
Oh my God. Jesus. But like you're not, it feels like you're the only person in the world that could possibly feel like this. And like you're not alone in it. People don't talk about this shit. And that's why Liz and I, we put so much importance on like talking about it because it feels so isolating because it's so stigmatized.
Yeah.
But there are so many people around you that are dealing with the same thing that you're dealing with to a different degree. And they might also be going through a journey of trying to get help. You don't know. And like, I don't know.
Also recommend journaling because then you can reflect back on it and be like, I have not been well in the past. And like compared to now, things have gotten a lot better. So it's just nice to have it in writing so you can like reflect on change.
Totally.
And
That must have been huge for you to find that.
Yeah, I like, well, so obviously I was like bawling while I was reading it.
Yeah.
Well, because I was like, I've been trying to like not stop myself from crying.
Good for you.
So I just like let myself cry. And then I just imagined myself like the older version of me now, like taking care of my past version.
Oh, that just gave me chills. Yeah. Just like sitting there with like 20 year old Liz.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like holding my own hand and being like, it's not going to feel like this forever.
Oh my God. She would be so proud of you.
Yeah.
21, 22 year old Liz.
She would be like, you're way hotter now. What the fuck? Like, and I would be like, yes, you don't deserve it yet, sweetie. You're too self-centered.
Oh my God.
Like, your hair is so long.
Holy shit. Well, thank you for talking about that because it's like not an easy thing to talk
about. I just wanted
to, like,
celebrate Scorpio season.
We love Scorpio season in this household.
Season of the Phoenix, season of change. It's a good time to like meditate on, like, you know, the new year's coming up.
Yeah.
I always like to make like I think I've probably mentioned this. I always like to make a Pinterest board.
Yeah, I love
for the
this
following
idea.
Year of just like the vibe I want to have for the year. Usually I do it like around or before my birthday, but I have not had time to do that. So it's time for the 2022 Pinterest board to start.
I want to make mine too. Should we share them?
Ooh, yeah. Let's
okay, I'm gonna
do
make
that.
One too,
let's
and then we'll make, and then maybe we'll just put it on Patreon.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just because I'm.
Oh, also, I want to put together
for the patrons.
I'm gonna put together the vibrator and sex toy list.
Yes,
and hopefully, like, I want to have it up before like the holiday deals and stuff. So
that's a great idea.
People can keep an eye out for some toys for themselves or the people they love. Okay, so we have one more spooky story that's very short, and it wasn't labeled as a spooky story, but it is a little bloody, so.
Okay, I'm excited.
I felt like it would be a good spooky story. Hi, I first just wanted to say that I absolutely love you both. You guys truly have helped me a lot as I am navigating a very dark time in my life.
Aww.
Girl,
we love you.
Yeah, we all are. So
real.
Yeah. So especially based on what we just talked about, you know, we understand.
Yes, we do.
I'm
so glad we could. That means so much that we can like give y'all company.
Yeah.
When you're going through stuff.
Well, the hardest thing is feeling alone, and
you're not.
This is you don't have to feel alone, and you also don't have to share something you're not comfortable sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, back to spooky story number two. I was reading the synopsis of episode 59 and saw the last line, "and a bloody hookup," and made me remember a story I felt like I just had to share. The first time I was ever fingered, I was 16 or 17. I remember we were on my bed. He had started fingering me, and I remember thinking it was very painful, but everyone said the first time doing anything could be painful, and I had nothing to compare it to. After faking an orgasm, he took out his fingers. He had went into the restroom and called out, "Are you on your period?" Horrified and knowing I was for sure not, I answered with a quick and surprised no. Come to find out, he had used his nails and caused me to bleed. I bled for days and had to wash all my bedding. It even left a stain. Ladies, make sure your guy never uses his nails. Thank you for sharing that with us.
How long were this guy's nails?
Also, why was he thinking like
scraping?
Yeah, so he's probably doing this.
Yeah, he watched how to do G-spot stuff for sure.
It's more of a,
it's like a come here, not like a crummer.
Who does that? Like nobody. An air quote? He's doing air quotes doing in air your quotes. Vagina. And I mean, anyone who is 16 or 17 does not know what the fuck they're doing.
The title of this episode has to be air quotes in your vagina. The spookiest.
It's this. Spookiest, it's like you're in trouble versus air quotes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Come on. Oh, man.
Gramps,
even Gramps
has
upset.
Things to say about this.
I know. It's obscene.
Wow. What a fucking tale.
So that was the spook, our last spooky story, because I think that's pretty scary.
That is pretty scary.
Oh my God. I want to know.
It's just kind of a sad fact.
That's fine.
I'm reading facts about, so we're not doing a sex fact. A sex fact of the, ooh.
Wait, make it spooky. Wow.
Thank you.
Come on. Come up here. Don't be dumb. Come on.
Okay, he's the sweetest face.
You're being annoying.
He's like, wow. All right. This is a scary fact of the week.
What are some of the, like...
The monster mash?
It's a sex fact. It's a sex fact. It's a sex fact. It's a sex fact. It's a sex fact.
Wow! You always blow me away with these adaptations of our song. Beautiful. So this is a sad fact.
It's a sad fact. Sorry. Continue.
Okay. National Geographic Kids reported that people make about 1 teaspoon of tears each hour of the day. Sometimes two. And I just made that. I just added that sometimes two in there. When you add it all up, that's probably more than you thought. What? What? When you add it all up, that's probably more than you thought every day. What the fuck? That doesn't make any sense.
1 teaspoon of tears every hour?
Mm-hmm. That's 24 teaspoons a day.
We cry?
Of just your eyes producing tears.
Oh.
But like, I cry a lot. So like, I
feel. Yeah, I would argue I produce more. If I cry a lot, what would that mean? What would that add up to? One day I'm gonna measure it.
Yeah, we should just like wait there with like a little test tube.
Use them for a spell later.
Yes. Oh my God. Do some voodoo on our exes. Okay, I'm gonna read another one because that was short. Your stomach lining blushes when you do.
Interesting.
Dr. Melissa Lem, a Canadian family physician, told CBC that when you blush, the lining of your stomach also turns a little bit red. It's more than just an outward expression.
Oh.
Well, hot diggity darn. I blush a lot. So, like,
I guess, like, when you have butterflies, then that's kind of, like, a real thing. Like, physically.
Cute. You're so right. That's a cute way to think about it.
So, they're not sex facts, but they are.
They're weird body facts.
Yeah, weird body facts. And that feels appropriate.
It does for our spooky sode.
Sorry if you weren't spooked enough, but
ooh, how about that? Was that scary?
oh, I have one more spooky story of something spooky that happened to me today. I was riding the little scooter back from the gym to my apartment, and I was driving past a house, and there was a little kid outside, and he started screaming at me. He was like 3. He was like, ah!
Don't like that.
And I was like, hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, brother.
He looked really cute. It was really funny. He was like, ah! He was like blonde hair spirit. And like a tan sweater.
Ah! Oh, what a little snuck
up. Like, mom, I'm going to go scare people outside.
Hell yeah. She's like, whatever. Fucking.
I was like wearing like my black hoodie and like scooting. I probably looked like the Wicked Witch of the West. Yeah. Na, 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 na. I took my hood down. I smiled at him because it was so cute.
What a little cutie.
Anyways.
Wow. Bless him for making our spooky sode.
Yeah. My advice for all of you is to make out with someone this Halloween.
Real.
Consensually.
Real.
And maybe that's your monogamous partner.
And maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Just grab someone.
You know, don't.
The world's ending.
Don't cheat.
Don't cheat, and it has to be consensual. Yeah. Those are our only guidelines. Yeah. Have at it.
Yeah. And you can't blame us if. That's why we said don't cheat.
Yeah.
Because if you're cheating, that's your choice.
And you have to make sure they want it. Yeah, this is going off exactly. The rails.
Anyways.
We love you.
Our
children.
Ooh.